So as I was preparing for this topic, it's kind of convenient that everyone's been talking about the battles they've been having or the struggling they've been going through, even this week or just recently. And that's super convenient because that's what God put on my heart a couple days ago. So when we were even in worship, we were talking about this, like, out of nowhere, this is how I fight my battles. And what does that even mean to us? Like, it's such a simple phrase. Like, it's such a simple phrase, but yet in the moment it felt pretty powerful. And what does it mean when we say this is how we fight our battles? Like, what is the how in this is how we fight our battles? And when whoever started singing that at first, like, I just, when you're in his presence and he's fully, like, touching you, and you give it all to him and your complete focus is on him, that's how you fight your battles. When the focus is on him and only on him alone. It reminds me of how when Peter was walking on water and his focus wasn't on Jesus, he began to sink. And when our focus is completely on Jesus, then we can continue to walk towards him. And that's how we fight our battles. So let's just talk about how we fight our battles. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 7. Sorry, Sasha, I didn't give you the verses. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 7. Start reading it. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Look at what is before your eyes. If anyone is confident that he is Christ, let him remind himself that just as he is Christ, so also are we. So the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. We don't fight our battles with our flesh. And when we start to fight our battles with our fleshes, that's when we begin to even fail or burn out. I was even talking to my brother because, like, me and him both have been having, like, a rough time recently, like, with just battling in general. And I was telling him how it feels like I'm holding something up and someone's just punching me in the gut and I have to keep holding something up. And it just hit me, like, yeah, battles may suck, but there's always purpose. God doesn't do anything without a purpose. Like, every single thing written in the Bible has purpose. There's nothing that isn't just there to be there. Every word spoken, everything, it has purpose. And that being said, that's the only way you can fight your battles. People are just people, despite who they are. The great leaders you see, they're just people too. The same Holy Spirit that lives in them lives in you. They read the same Bible that you read. So why is it sometimes we run to people instead of the Bible when we have problems? Or we don't run to God, we run to people and we ask them, hey, I'm going, like, I'm okay, to, like, before I'm saying this, mentors, leadership, really good. You should still be constantly connected to them and be asking for advice and stuff. But they can only guide you. They can only show you to the right place. In the end of the day, it's you and God. And they can't bring you to God. You have to bring yourself to God. You have to pick up your own sword and learn to fight. That sword being the Bible. It's so cool how the Bible is also always referred to the sword, because it's a weapon. It's how you fight battles. It's offensive. It's not a little doohickey butter spread. It's the real deal. It's not to be messed with. So, how powerful is this sword that we talk of? Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So let's just stop here and like analyze what it's saying. So the tempter, being devil, would tempt Jesus with these words. And the devil would always question God and question what he said, even with Adam and Eve. Like, did God really say not to eat from this tree? And he'd always question what God's been saying, because if he questions the power that like that God holds and the identity that you like have with that, then he can make you doubt yourself, and then you'll doubt everything that like that basically the Bible says, because if the Bible is the only truth that you can stand on. And if you start doubting the only truth that you can stand on, you have nothing to stand on. And you'll just fall. Let's just go from... Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down." So once again, the devil's questioning Jesus' identity. "For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. So every time the devil would try to tempt Jesus or try to get a reaction out of him, all that Jesus said was, "And it is written," and he quoted what was written. And that goes when we fight our battles. You don't fight battles with experience. You can't win by experience. You have to win by the word of God, basically, because that's the truth, and you can't change the truth. And just as a soldier must know how to properly use his sword in battle, we need to properly know how to use the Bible in battle. You can know the Bible, just know random knowledge, but what's that going to do for you if you don't know what it means or how to use it? Like, I've heard a lot of just people in general, just in the past, who would just quote random scriptures and they don't really understand what they're saying, or just take a bunch of stuff out of context. And when you read the Bible enough to the point where it's just saturating your mind, where like the very essence of the word is in your mind, you can, like, the Holy Spirit will begin to just take the saturation that you have and start to pull things out when you need it. And that's how you fight the battle. That's how you train for the battle is. That's how you train to use the sword, is by saturating yourself with the word. Like, I can't stress how important it is to know the word of God. I mean, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That itself should motivate us to just know the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. If we want to know God, know the Word. And that even like goes to, how many of you guys like conferences, like church conferences and stuff? Those are fun, right? You get to just listen to godly people speak, and then just the worship is great. But there's groups of people, like we can label them, that go to these conferences. A lot of people like to call them conference hoppers. And these are the type of people that don't know how to fight for themselves. They go from conference to get their answer. And sometimes they get it, sometimes they don't. And if they don't, they wait for the next conference to get their answer. And the reason they do this is because their own personal wells aren't dug. They're always going to a different place to get their drink. And they're just thirsty in between. But in reality, you need to dig your own well. It takes time to dig your well. It's not just I'm going to do a devotion one day, my well's dug, I'm good. It's a digging. Has anyone ever digged a hole before? Dug a hole? Yeah, it's hard. It takes time. There's so much preparation. There's so much discipline to keep digging. You're going to have to dig when you don't want to dig. And sometimes with devotions, you're going to have to do devotions when you don't want to do devotions. And even when I was preparing this last night, like I started preparing at like 9 o'clock, the way I do my message is it's just throughout the whole week. I just get bits and pieces and put them together. But I was trying to come up with things, and then I realized, like, that's my first problem. I'm trying to come up with things. I'm trying to do things in my own strength. And right then and there, I just stopped trying to do a message and just started doing devotions and worshiping God and just praising Him. And it took about 45 minutes of that before I, like, finally got His presence and everything just started flowing automatically. And it was when I wasn't doing things in my own strength, it was when it was in God's strength. And it's so important. Like, I don't want to talk to you guys at all if I do it in my own strength or these are my words. I don't want to be speaking if I'm coming up with it. I just want God to just speak through me and tell me what everyone needs to hear, including myself. I'm preaching to myself too. Second Corinthians 10, 3 through 7. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not... Wait, I already read... Yeah, sorry. Proverbs 8, 17. Sorry. You guys just cross that out in your notes. Proverbs 8, 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Very simple verse. God loves those who love me. Pretty simple. And those who seek me diligently find me. And then Proverbs 8:17. So this King James Version says, seeks me early shall find me. That works too. So diligently, what does that mean? Consistently. It doesn't say those who seek me once in a while find me. It's diligently. So sometimes when we seek God, we don't feel a thing. And it's like, well, I mean, if I'm not feeling anything, then I guess God doesn't want to talk to me right now, so I'm just going to do something else. But in reality, it's in those times where we don't feel anything that just brings out like the motives of our heart and why we're doing what we're doing. Like it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And sometimes it takes faith to do devotions, to know that God's listening to you, to know that you're spending time with God, and that pleases God. And your battles aren't going to just fix themselves overnight. Some of them take years. Some of mine took, like, one of my, like, major battles took over 10 years. But there are two outcomes of a battle, like, even in war and our spiritual war. There's a victorious battle and defeated battle. There's no tie. Like, you don't just shake. You either win or you lose. Romans 8:37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So when we're in a battle, we need to conquer through him. To conquer something means you leave nothing behind. Everything is conquered. And we need to fight our battles in this mentality that we're going to conquer the battle. Not just win it, but we're going to conquer it. Luke 10:19. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Like, the Bible says so many good things about us, and yet we're so scared sometimes of just the littlest things. Like, a couple days ago, I was driving to class in the morning. It was snowing pretty bad. It was super icy. I was heading towards the entrance of the college, and I started turning, and then nothing was happening when I was turning, and I just started sliding. And I hit a curb and hit my wheel pretty bad. Like, on a normal car, the wheels are like this. And when I hit it, my wheels were like that. And some stuff broke. But, yeah, so I was, like, on the sidewalk and stuff, and people were trying to be like, hey, can I help you? I'm like, no, it's okay. Because there's not really much they can do. And I called my brother, and I was so freaked out at first. Like, what am I going to do? I'm on the sidewalk of my college campus. Everyone's just staring at me. And I was fighting that battle in a place of loss. Like, I was retreating and running. And then my brother was like, yeah, it's okay. I'll come and figure it out, and you can go to class. And after I realized that, and like all my emotions just settled, it was like, honestly, like it wasn't a big deal. And most of our battles, after we come out of it, we're like, why was I so scared and just doubting of how good God is? And I encourage you, next time you're in a situation like that, like even a small thing, like you hit the corner of your knee against the table. I do that all the time. Right when you do that, just start praising God and thank him for how good he is. And your situation will just be so much better. I'm not even kidding. It like even how Mark was saying with their daughter Joy, like he was just praising God when complications came. And you'll feel a peace. It doesn't make sense, and it's amazing how much it doesn't make sense in a good way. And if you try to fight those situations, like, okay, I'm going to stay calm, I'm going to do this and this, so I'm going to keep peaceful, everything's going to be okay. And when you do that in your own strength, that'll work for a little bit, and then you're going to burn out, and then you're going to freak out, and then fall. And it's always when you fight in your own strength, you'll burn out. It's not if you burn out, it's when you're going to burn out. And you're not going to burn out if you're doing things through God's strength. 1 Corinthians 10:12 through 13. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So, this is a great verse, as every verse is. But I like this one especially because it's saying nothing that's like, sometimes we fall into the mentality that this is the only thing that's happening to me. It's only happening to me. This is the worst thing that's ever happened. No one knows what I'm going through. But in reality, everyone knows what you're going through, and everyone has felt this way before. It's common to man. But as this verse says, God is faithful, and he's not going to give you something that you can't handle. And here it says that he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. The way of escape is running to him and being able to endure it. When you endure something, that doesn't mean the problem is fixed. That means you stick through it until it's over. So a lot of times we pray and ask God to change our situation, But we should be asking God, give me the strength to get through this situation. And, or even like, we'll pray, God, change my situation. But in reality, you need to ask God to change your attitude. Like, I'm just being honest. We'll be running to our brothers and sisters and be crying like, oh, this is the worst. I can't believe this is happening to me. And we'll just start complaining. And complaining leads to other complaining, and then it just goes downhill from there. And man, it's not the situation most of the time that needs to be changed. It's really our character, our hearts need to be changed. And just like even going with saying like you need to take your problems to God, like what was that worship leader's name? He's like, I'm doing business with the Lord. Yeah, Brooke Lingerwood. She's a worship leader. Huh? Yeah, Hillsong Worship. And sometimes before the worship starts, like, okay, let's do business with the Lord. And I just like that because like, we need to get serious with God. Stop playing games with God. Just you don't go to a businessman and just say, well, you know, I don't know if I really want to do this. Like, we'll see. Like, if I feel like it, then it'll happen. Like, I'll talk to you when I feel like it. If I don't feel like you're communicating with me, then I'll just find a different person. And how often are we like that with like God? But like when I have my heart set on something, when I have my mind focused on something, I want it to be like strict business. Like, God, this is what's happening. I need you. I know I'm going to stick with you. You're going to be my business partner, and we're going to get through this. And the good thing is you don't have to do any of the heavy lifting. Like, God's already got it taken care of. And who's your business partner in life? Is it God or is it people, leaders, mentors? When something bad happens, what do you run to first? Like, imagine something or like a past thing that bad happened to you. What was the first thing you turned to? That shows you where you get your help from or where you get your answers from. And in reality, like, those people, they can't fight for the temptations in your life. You have to do it yourself with God. They can't fight the depression or anxiety. Like, you need to go straight to God with it. Because he always has the answer despite what problem you're having. Like, I just can't stress enough how important it is to just become intimate with Jesus. And just the word itself, intimate with the word. Where when you read the word, all your stress, worries, and problems, they just start fading away, and then the word of God just starts to penetrate you. And a lot of the time, the same problems keep coming back, the same battles keep coming back, because you don't know how to fight them, and they just come back like they own the place, because you have no defense up. And that defense is the Bible. And we even saw an example of this with Jesus. His defense was the word. He said, as it is written. He didn't say, from my experience, this is what happens, and this is what's going to happen. He said, because it is written, and the word is complete truth. So that was his defense, because 1 + 1 = 2. Like, it's the truth. You can't change it. Maybe with advanced math, but we're not talking about that. Battles are won with strategy. You don't just go into a battle and wing it. How many times do we just go into a situation and just, I'm just going to send it. I'm just going to go in. Like, I would do that a lot. I was like, I'm just going to be spontaneous. I'm just going to no plan, no worries, just going to run in there. And then I'd get just punched in the face like 2 seconds into the battle. And had to humble myself to realize, okay, maybe I do need to think about what I'm doing and how I'm going to get into this. And running into the world looking for like these solutions to our problems is like, have you guys ever watched the cartoon Wile E. Coyote, where he's chasing the, beep beep. So going to the world looking for the solutions, like asking people, going to like even online forums, like, I'm having this problem. Like, do you guys have any advice for me? Sometimes it's like in the cartoons, the coyote would always pull out an umbrella and there'd be like a 3,000-pound rock coming down about to land on him. And the world, the answers it gives you is that umbrella. And that 3,000-pound rock is reality. And is that the world's answers going to suffice for reality for you? It's probably going to break through the umbrella and crush you, because that's reality. Like, the world doesn't have the answers for you. It may have temporary solutions, but that's temporary. Ephesians 6:10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of the truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So the Bible tells us here to, it gives us our defenses. It literally tells us what we need to be able to have a defense. And like, I'll notice that when I don't put on this defense, I'll notice it. Like, even my, like, I'd be talking to my brother, like, at the end of the day, and I was like, man, it was a rough day today. And he's like, did you put on the armor of God? And I'll be like, oh, no, I didn't. That makes sense. Like, the specific parts that it lists, it's not just listing it, describing like a playset or whatever. It actually has purpose. Every single piece has purpose. And it's important, like, to even just put on the armor of God every single day to prepare yourself for the defense of the world's going to attack you. So are you going to be prepared for it? It's not if the world's going to the world's going to attack you. You're going to get some trials. The question is, are you going to be ready for these trials? 1 Peter 5:6-10. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So, a lot of people like to read this verse, just cast all your anxieties to him. And then they'll be like, well, I'm casting my anxieties to him, but nothing's happening. I'm still anxious. I'm still in distress. But in reality, it's hard to cast just a part of something. To cast means to throw it away completely, like to give it all. Like for fishing, for example, when you cast your line, you don't just half-heartedly just throw it, just a part of it. You have to full-on send it and get it out there. Even throw your fishing pole out there. You have to cast it all. And when we, this verse, like, it's casting all your anxieties on him. Like, it's not just some of your problems. It's all the aspects of your life, all the problems in your life. Like, you don't expect God to fix only pieces of the stuff you give him. He wants to fix everything. And if you only give him certain pieces of your life to fix, like, that's why you're still feeling anxious, because you're not giving that aspect that you're holding on to God, that you're holding on to God. And even in the beginning of the verse, it says, be sober, be vigilant. Like, have a clear mind. Don't cloud your mind with distractions. What? And it's, yeah, like, man, like, I'll even catch myself doing this. Like, man, I don't feel good. I'm going to distract myself so I can't feel bad. With, like, either it be YouTube, basically YouTube. And, like, I can't do that because the devil walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Like, he sneaks around and he'll get you if your mind is not sober or vigilant. Like, to be vigilant is to be aware of your surroundings. If you're focused on one thing, a distraction, you can't focus around the situation around you. And that's when the devil usually likes to shoot his fiery darts at you. So, like, Yula, can you come up here? Nastya, could you come up here? Or someone with the keys, come up there. Nastya? So even when we were worshiping, like, and even talking with our testimonies, everyone's got battles or fighting in life right now. And, like, we just need to have the realization that the only one that can fight our battles and help us fight our battles is Jesus. People are just people in the end of the day, like. Yeah, it's important to get prayer and guidance from others, but they're all going to guide you to the same thing. At least good leaders and mentors, they're all going to guide you to Jesus and to the God and to the Bible, because that's where the answers, that's where only where the answers are going to be. So, like, even as we just sing this song, just give God all your problems, all the junk. Like, whatever you came in here with, just give it to God. Like, he can easily take it without even lifting a finger. So, Lord, we just come before you and we just pray that you'll just touch us and you'll move us, Lord, that as we just read the word, that you'll just expose parts of our life that we're just holding on to, not just giving it to you, Lord. The problems that we're allowing to just live in our life because we don't trust you, that you'll just give us the strength and just the realization that we just need to give it all to you, whether it's just temptations or just any small sins that are just hindering us from getting closer to you, Lord. Just take it away, Lord. Give us the realization of what it is. And just take it away. And you have to be willing, guys, to take it away. I mean, to give it up. Give up the small things that are holding you back. And I don't have to say the small, what's holding you back. You already know. The first thing that comes up to your head, that comes to your head when you're thinking, what's holding me back from God? First thing that comes to your head, that's what you need to let go of right now. And Lord, I just pray that you will just increase and we will decrease, Lord. That we decrease ourselves so you may increase, Lord.